Hi, everybody. I'm George Siegel. Welcome to the Tell Us How to Make It Better podcast. If you've ever gone through the new home buying process, you know how overwhelming it can be. Things start off smoothly, but then you have to make decisions. And if you don't make them, the builder makes them for you. There are also numerous things along the way that you might be able to do to a home to make it better, but you never thought of them. It's much easier and much more affordable if you figure this out early rather than late. And as most buyers know, builders charge you a change order fee for anything you change during the process, and that can get expensive. My guest today is a guy I came across on Instagram, and the first thing I noticed was he had almost 300,000 people following him for his Builder Brigade videos, so I started watching. And I can see why he has so many followers. He shows you things you might want to do or should be doing to your home, and it can make the home building process go much more smoothly. I'm George Siegel, and this is the Tell Us How to Make It Better podcast. Your home is probably your biggest investment, and every week we show you warning signs and solutions to help you protect it. Tell Us How to Make It Better is partnering with The Readiness Lab, the home for podcasts, webinars, and training in the field of emergency and disaster services. Dennis, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I love your videos. As somebody who has built several houses and bought houses, I always have things come back to bite me. And it's bad when they do. And you go, gosh, why didn't I think of that? So first of all, how did you think of this idea? Because it is great.
Exactly what you're saying right now. It's had a house built, and there was during the process, and then even after, even right now, yesterday, it's like I'm always finding things where I'm like, man, I wish I would have done that. And now I have a community that I can reach out to, and then they tell me the things that they found. So it's just a never-ending list that just keeps growing and growing because there's so many things to consider.
I think when people sign up with a builder for the building process, in the beginning, it starts out like a very loving, friendly relationship, but there's competing interests here, as I've discovered. They're in this to make money. They're not necessarily into it for what's best for you, the home buyer. So how can these videos help smooth that process out? Because it can be a rocky one.
For sure. Yeah. I think more often than not, you're going to have, it makes the relationship a little bit rocky by the end of the build. There's just so much going on. And honestly, it's a miracle that homes get built with, if you could really kind of consider every single piece that has to come together and all the different people who have to work together, and that's facilitated by the builder. So I'm a huge fan of builders. I mean, I just think they're doing insane work to try to organize all this together. And when it comes to the homeowner, I think the biggest issue that people are seeing is communication. So the homeowner has this grand vision in their head of exactly what they want. And they're kind of not really knowing it, but they're thinking that the builder knows exactly what they want. And the miscommunication there is when they start to have trouble.
That could be huge. And I think people get the wrong idea when they go buy an existing house or you walk into a model house, something that's finished. But there's a million things that have to be done with new construction that most people don't think about. And if you don't think about them in advance, then you have to pay for it later with change orders. So what's the best way for somebody to come into the process and tackle this daunting challenge?
Well, that's funny because that's kind of like what started everything that I'm doing is it all started from a checklist that I made for my friends who were building around the same time. And they're a little bit behind me. So I'm thinking all these problems that I'm running into now, let me make a checklist for them. And now that's kind of like my solution to this problem right now is my checklist. So I sell that checklist to homeowners, and then those homeowners, builders and contractors reach back to me and give me feedback, and I just keep improving it, you know, send out the updated copy to the previous customers. And that's my solution right now. And that checklist is things to consider and all the insane massive amounts of things to think about when it comes to what you want to choose for your house. It's not just paint. There's just so many things to choose. It's out of control. It really is.
It is. And you know, when I first saw that and I went to your website and I go, oh, you mean I have to pay for these? And then I thought, this is cheaper than a change order. I mean, to have this list could save you. I'm not on commission here, but as somebody who's been down this road, You could save a lot of money by knowing exactly the direction you want to go in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's I really am, I guess I don't really like go crazy trying to advertise the thing because I think it's just kind of doing it itself. People are recommending it to other people. And yeah, it's just the only way that I can see to just kind of put everything into one location. I'm also working on a web app to where it's essentially the checklist, but it's on the web. I haven't really mentioned it publicly yet, but it's getting close to finish, so I'm hoping to get that going, and maybe that'll make it even easier for the homeowners.
Now, do you have a building or construction background? What were you doing? Because this looks time consuming now. What were you doing before this?
Yeah, so well, now this is my full-time thing. So before, my construction background was pretty minimal. Like I was framing houses in Florida, and I did that for a few years, and then I joined the Army, completely unrelated skills in the Army, and I did that for quite a few years and did some contracting work for those guys. And then while I was doing contracting work is when I built my house. And when I was having the house built, I'm always just building stuff, right? And I have that little bit of construction knowledge, so I know how all the trades work together. And I'm thinking, man, my house is going to be legit. I'm not going to miss anything. It's going to be amazing. And it was just problem after problem. And I'm thinking, man, if that's happening to me, you know, I know guys at work who don't like hanging their own pictures on the wall. So I know that they would have a lot of trouble trying to go through this process. So that's me trying to like fill that void, I guess, and solve that problem.
What part of the country did you build your house in?
So I'm in Georgia, and then I was framing in Florida.
So, you know, I mean, there are problems that people hear if they don't think about. It's not just the cosmetic stuff, it could be life-threatening stuff. And there's a lot of details and things that people need to ask for. To me, one of the biggest ones is concrete block versus wood. And I see a lot of houses here. I live near the water in Tampa, and I see people saving a little money by putting wood on the second floor. Or, you know, just areas where they're cutting corners. What are your thoughts on how much safety you should put into the build of your house? I mean, just saying it's built to code to me is not enough. It needs to be safe.
I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think building to code, I mean, I guess that's just personal preference, right? It's yeah, you can build to code, but you can look at a wood structure and be like, all right, if a crazy storm came ripping through here, do you feel comfortable like that thing's gonna hold up? Or you drive by a block house or an ICF, like, you know, solid poured walled house, and look at that house and go like, where would I want my family? I mean, I guess it's more of a personal preference, and I'm with you. I'm a huge fan, especially growing up in Florida. I came to Georgia and I was like, whoa, all the houses here are wood frame. That's odd because all you see down there is block. So it is a little bit of a transition. Even here, I see a lot of guys who are building concrete like safe rooms in the middle of their house. So they do have a place to go when things get a little bit crazy. So if you're not going to go like full blown, like block style house, I think just having a safe room is a good idea. And I can nerd out on that. Like I'm a little bit of a prepper, you know, deep down. So I have to kind of make sure I don't go too far off the deep end with it, you know?
Sure, but it's amazing how many people don't think about it. They get wooed by the granite countertops, maybe the nice backyard, the fancy wood flooring that was put in, or the appliances, and they're not saying, "Well, how was the roof bracketed to the walls? How was the front door constructed?" I mean, I think that knowing the safety features should probably be the number one thing that people are concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And that's the beauty of like building brand new is you can kind of have a say in all that thing. Like for instance, so in my house, I was tight on my budget. We were getting near the end and it was just like, I'm out of money. I'm just trying to just, because you want all these extra things, right? And I'm thinking, all right, I need a storm sort of like safe room. And we're not really dealing with hurricanes like you guys are in Florida. So the best thing I could come up with was a safe room instead of my family going in the bathtub, like they would tell us, you know, back in the day to, you know, survive a storm. We just took, I got some 2x6, 8 inches on center with 3/4 inch plywood, nailed all the way up. So, in a worst case scenario, my family has like a good solid place to go. And it's not gonna, you know, be the safest place in an F5 tornado, but, you know, historically, that's not a concern here in Georgia. So you just do what you can, and being able to build new construction, you can kind of come up with these ideas and, you know, build it per your specification.
We learned that in making my documentary film, The Last House Standing, because some of the best built houses are by Habitat for Humanity. And those are not expensive houses, but they put, first of all, they care. They put detail into things. The people that are there want to be there, but they go those extra steps and how the nails they put in, how they bracket the roof. Those little details can make a major difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And you, I wouldn't have thought that Habitat for Humanity, I would have thought the opposite, that it maybe wouldn't have had as much quality because it's one of the, it's on the, you know what I mean? It's just not the regular process that you would go to getting a house.
It's time for emergency preparedness to go mainstream. Smart, innovative, practical solutions that match your needs. Instinct Ready educates, prepares, and equips the everyday person for disaster. With promo code MAKEITBETTER, you can access comprehensive preparedness courses and premium go bags. Visit InstinctReady.com with promo code MAKEITBETTER today. Preparedness starts at home. I know. And, you know, probably the thing I hear people complain about most, and I know you're very pro-builder, so I'm not going to try to get you into any controversy or have you feel the lack of love that I have on my end. But I think that a job is only as good as the people that are watching them do it. So when people are building a new house, how much do you recommend they be out there and engaging? I had one builder tell me, I don't want you on the job site. I don't need you here. I don't need another superintendent. And I told him if I was the superintendent, I'd be the only one you have because nobody's watching these guys. And so how important do you think it is to be involved with that stuff?
I'll tell you from my perspective, I was here every single day because I just wanted to make sure and for good reason, because there were some issues I caught that you cannot fix after the fact, right? Like, here's a crazy one. I showed up and my wife was telling me, I'll just give you this quick little story because it's kind of insane. And this is a good reason why it is important to show up and just double check and make sure everything's right. We show up to the job site and we just got started and the slabs poured. And my wife's looking and she's like, man, this just looks really small. This doesn't seem to look right. And I'm telling her, you don't know what you're talking about. Just relax, you know, just give these guys a minute. The last thing I'm going to do is call the builder out here. 2 days go by and we're looking for the house plans, asking for the builder, hey, can you send me the finalized house plans? We don't really have them yet. And they're already, you know, they're moving on the build. And I come out there the next day and here's the drawings flapping in the wind. I'm like, oh, great. Here they are. So we run over and look at the plans. They're building the wrong house. I mean, we are moving forward. The house is wrong. They've got the slab being poured. So they had to make a bunch of adjustments and get it right. You know, it didn't come out of our pocket, but we wouldn't have caught that. I mean, the way that we structured our home build, we probably would have, if we didn't like the layout of the house, we would have had to go with a different house.
And that kind of amplifies one of the things I always talk about is to make sure people have everything in writing. When I was building a house, we wanted these two large windows up on the top of the living room to let light in because there was a patio that it would have been a really dark room. And they put the wrong size in. And I called the builder out on it. And I said, you have the wrong size windows here. There's not going to be much light. And he goes, those are right. I'm the builder. I know what I'm talking about. So he pulls out the contract and he goes, you're right. Those are the wrong size windows. So they had to tear them out and put in the other ones. If you're not on top of your game, you can't necessarily rely on them catching everything.
Yeah, nobody cares as much as you do, right? It's your hard-earned money going into your house. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think you definitely got to have your hands in it, and you can kind of like judge it by the builder, right? If the builder just seems to be on it, you're not going to be quote unquote like micromanaging as much. You're going to feel, you know, like you're in good hands. So I think that comes into it. And when you talk about like having it in writing, I got a lot of homeowners who they'll make their own, a specific email account and run all communications through an individual, like dedicated email account. And anything that they talk about is in writing for that exact instance that you're talking about, you know, windows. It can get pretty crazy for sure.
It does. And it's hard to sue builders. And in a couple of the states I've lived in, they have a big lobby group that makes sure that building codes stay down there. And so you can only take them to arbitration. I don't think any builder wants to end up in front of a jury trial. But what I find interesting is the superintendent is also really important because they're the ones watching the guys on a regular basis, the guys or gals that are out there working. And when I've seen houses that have had flood damage and they tear open the walls, you see food wrappers inside, you see beer cans, you see, to me, a job site, how you see that job site maintained tells a lot about what's going on. What are your thoughts on that when you see
it? Oh, I'm all about it. Yeah. I mean, that's a big one. And some people say that you shouldn't just be showing up on the job site, but if I'm about to throw down a bunch of money on, you know, on a house, I want to see what the other houses in the area are looking like. And that is a very good indicator of what you're going to get, right? One is you call the builder and they don't call you back for 3 days. Well, if they're not going to get back to you on the initial reach out and it's going to take them 3 days, how long do you think they're going to take to get back to you when they're like in the middle of building? You know, that's one good indicator. And the other one being when you go to that job site, if it's out of control, super messy, then that's a problem. One thing I always tell people is, if you go there and they just got done framing a house like in the neighborhood and you see just framing scraps all over the place, that's okay. Now, when you go out to that job site and they're in the middle of framing and you're seeing like trades back, like let's say they're in sheetrock, right? And you're seeing HVAC material, you're seeing framing material, you're seeing electrical and plumbing all still laying around, that's a problem. That means that there was never any cleanup after those trades. So that would definitely be a sign to, you know, watch out for.
Yeah, there was a post on Nextdoor recently here showing a house on Davis Islands that was being built, and the lot was a mess. There was trash everywhere. And my feeling is when they're showing you stuff outside that's a mess, then it makes you wonder what's going on inside that's a mess. And, you know, I've had posts that have been, we've opened up to put a camera inside and you see where it's not bolted down. Where a roof has leaked and you see that they ran out of protective water barrier and they used paper to finish
no.
it. I mean, these things, I'm like a needle in the haystack for problems, I guess, but to me, it just highlights that you really have to be on your game. And I think that's one of the beauties that things I like about your videos is it just brings things up you don't think about. And you want to find a builder that's open to communicating and wanting to work with you. If they don't, you should probably just go the other way.
Yeah, I agree. And so I started a Facebook group and I just kind of opened it up and dropped a couple posts in there, and that thing has blown up. I mean, there's like 40,000 members in there, and some of the stuff that's being posted is pretty shocking. I mean, it goes right off of everything that you're saying. They're running into those problems in it, and it kind of helps for them to drop the problems in there and then for everyone to just scream at the top of their lungs like, dude, that is wrong and you should get it fixed immediately. Because when you're having a house built, you kind of get in this position to where you're like, I don't know if I should bring this up to the builder. I don't know. You don't want to micromanage them. You don't know if they're already planning on fixing that. So I like the Facebook group because they can just kind of go in there, drop a picture, and then get a sanity check and make sure they're not crazy for saying something to the builder.
Sure, that's a great idea. And what you find is that if you don't say something, after the fact, it's too late. There's a bunch of stories that have been, you can see them on YouTube, with D.R. Horton and a lawsuit that's going on against them from an entire community that was built poorly. And a home is likely people's biggest investment. And it's heartbreaking when you see the walls caving in, the mold, the leaks, the windows that aren't put in right. I mean, it's such a personal process that it's better to be on top of it and blow the whistle than it is to be a victim.
Yeah, it is. There might be some uncomfortable conversations, but I'm always going to lean towards that uncomfortable conversation. And it's going to be rare that you're going to be the worst guy on the job. You know what I mean? These builders have talked to a lot of homeowners, and I think they're kind of used to these questions. So I think if it's bothering you, definitely, or you might think it's a concern, just bring it up to them. And you can even if you're concerned about that, maybe have that weekly meeting to where you're not texting them every single day or however you're communicating. You just hit them up every Friday. You meet them out there on the job site. You say, hey, these are the things, and you can go down your list. And then that makes you feel better knowing that you're not bothering them because it's your dedicated time. And having that dedicated time is probably something worth mentioning when you're negotiating with the builder before you sign the contract. Like, hey, can we have a dedicated time to meet to discuss some of those issues that you're talking about?
Yeah, if they don't want to make the time for you, I would buy another house. I would run away from that. Now, when I was watching your videos, there's some that are fun and some that are scary. You had a fail video with a ceiling beam that fell that wasn't installed properly. Tell me about that. That's pretty scary.
It is, yeah. So that was so it's supposed to be like a decorative beam in, you're seeing that a lot in like living rooms and kitchens where they're running that beam, and they're just using drywall anchors to attach it to the ceiling joist, which that's not what you want. You want it to install it directly to that joist there and not running into the drywall. It's just kind of ridiculous. But that was a homeowner who sent me those. So I'm getting those fairly often. They'll DM me some of these fails that they're running into. And it is, man, it's definitely scary.
Yeah, somebody could get killed from that. We had shelves installed in our garage, you know, the ones from the ceiling, and mm-hmm. they didn't install those properly. So when I went up there and put weight in it, it almost came down just for me putting my hands on it. I mean, when you're doing things that could kill you or your family, you really have to be careful with things like beams and stuff like that. How could they have been more on top of it and not found that out? I mean, I guess there's some things that you just have to hope they're doing right.
Yeah, I mean, if you just don't know, you don't know. Like, if you don't know that that's how they're supposed to be attached directly to the ceiling joist, then there is no way for you to know. So that, I guess that's, I try to make videos to show that. Yeah, that is, it gets tricky. It really just comes down. You have to put some trust in the people who are doing work on your house for sure.
Yep. I've seen hurricane brackets installed upside down. You know, just stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out. Now,
for
some
sure.
Cool stuff that you had, but I haven't seen this one. You asked if people liked it. The bath shower combo that had the half door on a hinge.
Yeah.
I would think, depending on who's using that, that could be a real challenge. I mean, they have them in Europe, but maybe there's a reason we don't see a lot of those.
Yeah. So that was the first time I've seen one in a house, and I love it. And that homeowner style, man, she killed it at her house. She has like a modern look to her house, and it's just really awesome. I think I like that half style door, and like the comments were saying, that half style like shower door with the hinge. It is very common in Europe, and some people are complaining that some of the water was leaking there. And I'm not sure that could have been because there wasn't like a seal there. I see that it was just regular shower doors. People don't put like a plastic seal there, so the water just comes out. So I'd be curious to see how that in operation would work, but I definitely like the look of it for sure.
I would tell people if you have teenagers or younger kids, that would not be the right one to have because they are not going to
be hanging on it.
Yeah, only bad things can happen. Now, insulation is a huge deal, and you show different types in your video. I happen to be a fan of the spray insulation to create that barrier in the attic in case water gets in. What do you find? What do you like in houses?
And this is just my personal preference because, like I said, I'm not a builder, and I can't give anyone recommendations for like a nationwide. This is the number one. But for me, especially like here in Georgia, I had a home with a spray foam insulation, just the open cell spray foam in the attic. And I was living in Savannah, and that attic was shocking. You go up there and it's just cool as a cucumber. And I mean, that's where all of your, you know, equipment is being housed for the HVAC. And I just think it just makes too much sense to put that up there. So me, myself, I like doing the spray foam in the attic, and then the walls would be the bat, like maybe some rock wool batting on the side and on the exterior walls. That would be like my go-to. But then if you got the money to spend, the flashing bat, where it's the closed cell spray foam mixed with the bat insulation, I think that's the best you could do. But again, that just depends on your budget.
Now, what about sound insulation? Like if between the first and the second floor, what should go in that? Or sometimes they have nothing. I've seen a lot of houses that it's just air in there, and then others where they put something to deaden the sound.
Yeah, that's a real common misconception where people think that their interior walls are insulated. I talk about that quite a bit as well. And I mean, you have your choices. I haven't seen spray foam used there, but I'm sure you could. But just some bat insulation, whether that's rock wool makes some sound damping insulation for that specific reason. And yeah, I'm a big fan of having that put in the bathrooms, especially if your bedroom is on the same, sharing the same wall as the living room. I think it's good to put some interior insulation there. So yeah, if you're having a new construction house built, that's a big one because you can't do it after, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things that just, if you can scrape up the extra change to have that interior insulation done, do it. That's a good call.
What I think people need to think about, and correct me if you completely disagree, but if you see something during the process that you think is a boil or a problem or something that somebody else might not like, inevitably, when you go to sell that house, that's the first thing they put on their list to the realtor. I didn't like this house because there wasn't enough closet space, or it was too noisy, or the driveway was too steep. So thinking of them in advance can make a difference in resale also.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, resale. You know, that's another thing I think of is when you're having your house built, is I tell everyone to record. So record the build and look behind. So you'll be able to give that next homeowner, hey, that might be icing on the cake. I don't think it's going to push them over the edge to buy the house, but you can see behind those walls, all the wiring, all the plumbing. I've used mine multiple times. Anything in the ground, the sprinkler lines, you can record those while they're being installed. So yeah, to your point, I mean, thinking ahead on resale, that's another big one as well, because things are a little bit cheaper most of the time if you're in construction, right? If you're going to have the trim guy in there building like custom, you know, shelving and things like that, it's going to be way cheaper to do that in while you're under construction and doing it all at once than to have somebody come in a finished house and add that built-in whatever cabinets you're going to be doing then.
I know some people that say, well, I didn't really want a surround sound, so I didn't pre-wire it. Pre-wire it. It's so inexpensive to throw wires in for an alarm system, for a camera system, when it's a shell of a house, than when those things are closed up.
Absolutely. Smurf tubing. I'm a super fan of Smurf tubing. I should have all the stock in the world when for the companies who make Smurf tubing, because it's like, it's just conduit that you can put in the wall and change out the wiring after the house is built. So for instance, I wanted to run another camera in my house, and I knew that it was going to be a hard location to get to when the house was being built. So I ran Smurf tubing. It's just a little plastic tube that I could fish the wire in and add that later. So I couldn't afford all the cat cable at the time. There's just so much things I wanted added. So I just put the Smurf tubing in those locations that I knew I was going to want to add later on. So that's a good
one. And another one, I want to see this as a video that you do down the road, is when people have their doorbell put in. The builder always puts the doorbell not necessarily in the best place to put a Ring doorbell. And so when they come out to put that in at our house, they had nicked the wire. So the doorbell didn't even work. And you can't tear open the stucco of a house to fix that. After the fact. So we had to have one. We have to have a wireless doorbell now. So it works, but it's not hardwired.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm jotting that down right now. So like a Ring doorbell location. So having that doorbell in a good spot, because I mean, Ring doorbells are just, they're on every house.
Yes. And the builder doesn't always put them in the place that gives you the best camera angle to see people. Mm-hmm. It's the best angle just to push the button. I think thinking of that in advance could be a huge savings, because if they screw it up, you don't get a second crack at it.
For sure. I nerd out on all that stuff. I'm always trying to think ahead on like, where would I put this, you know? And then you can do the same thing with outlets, you know, like the under soffit outlets always do well, because when you're running your Christmas lights, it's just easy to plug them in there and you don't have to run extension cords. And yeah, just outlets galore. If you're going to hang your vacuum, have a high outlet, things like that. It's just those easy things that actually sometimes those cost you $0. You're like, hey, I would like this outlet a little higher. No, $0. That cost you $0, because that's exactly what you wanted.
And if you're going to have a room, we have a treadmill and a bicycle, but there's not enough power going to that room. We had to run another line later. Make sure you have enough power by having the right voltage going there so you could handle that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had a few dedicated circuits installed because I knew I was going to make like a mini network room in my house, almost like a brain like hub in the center of the house. And I didn't want any power issues. So I just asked them to run a circuit, which is just a dedicated wire that goes from the panel to that room. And then I knew that there would be no complications. Like, say they use the same wiring in another room and somebody plugged in something heavy, it would kill that power. So now, since it has a dedicated line, it's good to go without issue. So yeah, that's a good one for sure.
Man, if I just gave you my list of problems, you'd have a year's worth of videos. So a couple others, because I know you're a busy guy, but the blowtorch weed killer. You know, kids don't try this at home, but I thought it was pretty cool. Explain how that was working.
As soon as you said that, I'm like, he's either going to love it or he's going to hate it, because I don't go in the comments too much because it can make my day or ruin my day. So sometimes I don't see the feedback on all the videos, but I'm glad to hear that you like that one. I forgot where I got. Oh, I made a video about using Roundup, and everybody in the comments was like, dude, get away from Roundup. It's, you know, they all had stories about family members who were getting cancer. So enough said. So I got rid of the Roundup, and somebody recommended the blowtorch. So I tried it, and I love it. Yeah, it works out really good. Just kill all your weeds with that massive blowtorch.
That was entertaining. And then some of the cool stuff, the dog wash station. That was pretty awesome. I mean, how many people go, God, where do I bathe my dog? Do I have to go outside and do it where it's dirty?
You have a dog and cold. Your dog probably doesn't like that cold hose water, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah, those are becoming fairly popular now. I'm starting to see those in more houses on like the higher end custom homes where they're putting in a dog wash station. Some of them are low and some of them are high. Like if they have a big dog, they'll put them low, and the smaller dogs will have them up high, so they're not having to bend over and wash their dog. It's a pretty cool little feature. And I would think it's not crazy expensive if you don't go and add a bunch of insane tile work or anything like that.
Sure. Okay. So what's your favorite feature and your least favorite thing that somebody's added to a house? Like what's the coolest thing and what's one that you've gone, I don't know about that.
The coolest thing I've seen, I would say I saw a pool recently on that house that we're talking about, and just the retractable, I want to give you a bunch, right? Because it's hard for me to just pick one on the spot. The retractable cover, I really like. On the pool, I don't see those enough. I just think that just makes having a pool that much better. And the outdoor heaters, those are a big one. I think that we're going to start seeing way more of those. They're going to find more budget-friendly heaters to put on your back porch. That just changes the game for having the outdoor area. And one that I didn't like, I don't want to say I didn't like it because I don't care either way, but I just found it funny, was I saw a cat litter fart fan. I call it, it's more than that. I gave it that name because it kind of made me chuckle, but it was a fan. It's actually a really good idea. It's for the cat litter box, and it has a little exhaust fan that goes to the outside, and they can just turn it on and off. So when it starts to stink, they can just push all that stinky air outside. And that got me thinking, you could also put a smart switch on there to kind of kick on and off with movement in the room or particular time of day. So yeah, that was another good one.
Or just change the litter box more often.
Yeah,
hey, there's an idea. You know, on the pool cover thing, it really depends on the shape of your pool. We had a rectangular pool several years ago with small children. That electric cover is gold because it gives you that peace of mind that your kid can climb a fence. They're not getting in with a cover like that, or your pets. I mean, but you have to have the right shape pool for that.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, you can't have one of those crazy gunite pools. It ain't going to work.
No, it wouldn't. So, okay, let's leave people with the number one piece of advice. I'm building a house or I'm remodeling a house. What's the main thing, mindset or thing I can do to get me going in the right direction?
If I can only give one, it's really nail down your vision and everything that you're wanting. So go through everything that is like the top of your list that you want to get done. Make a list of that, because you need to give that to your builder and portray your vision to your builder, so you guys are both working on the same sheet of music. So however that is, whether it's the checklist or you're making your own sheet, just make sure you have the main meat and potatoes that you want in your house, and make sure that he or she is tracking that so it gets handled. Because you're going to find, if you don't start thinking about this early, you're going to get in the middle of your build, and it's already going to happen. So try to avoid it as much as you can. It's like, damn, I wish I would have thought of that. You know, so that's the whole point of doing that.
And that's really a crummy feeling to go, I wish I would have thought about that, especially with all the resources that are available. I mean, if somebody just sits down and spends 10 or 15 minutes watching your videos, they're going to go, all right, I got to up my game here.
That's
because
awesome.
I'm just letting too many things slip by that I should be on top of.
There's so much. It's shocking. I think my checklist is at like 40 pages now. It's insane.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier to do the work up front than to try to play catch up later, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Hey, Dennis, I appreciate your time. All your information's in the show notes. I would tell people to go watch your videos, but it looks like everybody in the world already is. But you're doing great, and continued success to you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. This is a good time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Tell Us How to Make It Better podcast. All of Dennis's information is in the show notes. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts or an interesting story of your own that you'd like to share, I would love to hear from you. There's a link to a contact form in the show notes, and all my contact information is there as well, along with a link to my documentary film, The Last House Standing. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.